music, man. What you doing, Spadoni? You slipping. Niners, Hawks, Thursday Night Football, desperation game for the 49ers. Operation Win at All Costs, a.k.a. must-win game. And they beat Seattle five straight times. Geno Smith and company coming off a loss. This is for first place in the NFC West, and you got to start somewhere. To get into the playoffs, it's probably better than winning the division than wait on a wild card. All right? 888-957-9570. What's your X factor today? As we shout out our great friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Although, we've been kind today. I thought about flushing down at Concord for the poll. Wasn't too long of a poll. But, you know what? An A for effort. But I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up. I feel really good about today. I'm not guaranteeing anything. I'm not going to put any chicken on it. But if the Niners play their brand of ball.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
I can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
I can sit here and do a sugarcoat job, but I'm not going to do that. I'll never do
that.
You'll
save that for Warrior season.
No, I'm not going to do that either. It's worth saying out loud, Shasky and I, that we both believe this team can make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
I tell you right now, don't let the Warriors start like 10-2, 10-3. Oh, my God.
I told you, if they go over 15 games over 500 at any point this year, then I will suspend all of my own promises.
If the Warriors go like 20-8 in the first 28 games.
They go 20-8.
Oh, I'm talking that
I'm
talk.
I'm taking you to House of Prime.
Oh,
Red.
I'm talking that talk. That's what I'm doing.
Tell Mully we're gone.
By the way, Mully, that guy, man, he lives such a great life. I'm sitting there with Baby Chaz. We're watching the Mets eliminate the Phillies. And, by the way, Damon and SF dropped off. You know what his X factor was?
What?
Mitch Wisnowski.
X factor cannot be a punter. That is the what?
I was trying to hurry up and get to that call because I wanted to hear.
You scared him off.
I scared him off, I guess.
I want to hear why.
Damon, call back, SF. But no, Mully. As Edwin Diaz is getting the final out, I get a FaceTime notification. Mully and Chrissy in the suite watching the Mets eliminate the Phillies.
So is he a Mets, Jets, Knicks fan growing up?
Mets, Jets, Knicks. Yep.
Yeah.
Walt Frazier.
Well,
John Havlicek was his favorite player, but he loves Walt Frazier, loves the Garden, loves Marv Albert on a call. Jets was his team.
He tells me stories
about the 86 Mets when he bet them.
Because
obviously he was playing at St. John's or whatnot. So
can you imagine Mully in the 86 Mets?
He told stories about Doc and Dwight and being around that team. Said they were some ballers. Keith Hernandez.
I was just going to say Keith.
So he was there with the Mets and he was like, I'm coming out to the Bay soon, buddy. I'll see you soon. Hey, Baby Chaz. He's like, Baby Chaz, Uncle Mully. I was just like, this guy, man. We're just watching the game. I was like, look, Chaz, he's at the baseball game.
Well, tell him on behalf of Giants fans, Pete Alonso, we want you.
Yeah, I think that ship sailed already. It sounded good. He ain't going nowhere, man. It's the same thing with Arizona. I got to stop doing this. I want Pete Alonso, but we're not getting Pete Alonso, man. Let's be real.
Can I do a preemptive point of view? That's probably, we're not going to have time, whether they win or lose tomorrow, to discuss it. Al Michaels, this is a big game.
Oh, gosh.
Wake up, buddy.
Oh,
wake up.
It should be better than Bob Costas.
Big game.
Bob Costas is showing his age, and I've always been a Costas fan. I know I'm in the minority here, but I always love.
No,
I've been
Costas
a sucker.
Is great.
I've been a sucker for Bob Costas.
He's been
sucker for him.
Quite honestly, though, since Pink Eye, it hasn't been the same.
It hasn't been the same. And yesterday, he was like a single to center, and I'm like, it was a bloop. It didn't even get out the infield. It cut. I was like, I go, Bob, you got to put the glasses on, man. He was struggling yesterday at Kauffman Stadium.
He had the Homer glasses on for the first few games of the series. I don't know if you're paying attention to that. But, like, preemptively, I'm going to let you know. Al, there's a game tonight. It's important. Let's act like we care about it.
See, you know why I respect Al Michaels?
He's too old.
No, stop, Priest. Stop it, Priest. He's not too old, Priest.
Stinking from the head up.
Let me tell you something about Al Michaels, who's a Hall of Famer, a legend, one of the best broadcasters of all lifetime.
Uh-huh.
He understands it's the middle of October. he understands that, yeah, it's a big game, but you know what? There's going to be bigger games down the road. He understands the magnitude. This isn't his first rodeo. Okay. He's been doing this since the 60s. He's been around the block a couple times, Shasky. He understands what's going on here. So, Herb Street, it's time for you to pick it up. You got to help him. You got to pick it up, Herbie. Got to pick it up. I know you got College Game Day happening. Where's Game Day at this week? I don't know. But I know you were in Cal Berkeley, and you're getting high off contact out there in Berkeley, because we saw all the smoke clouds in the background. Nobody does it like the Bay Area. All the weed clouds at Game Day. Pat McAfee acknowledged it. Herbie was off his rocker.
Game Day is in Eugene for Ohio State, Oregon.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Oh, my God. What a
game. Number two versus number three.
Oh, my
God. Battle of the O's.
Oh, my God.
Oh, baby.
I moved on from LSU, and I'm now the Oregon head coach. And, boy, let me tell you, I do like playing it on Tuesdays. No, I'm just playing on video games.
You're Dan Lanning?
I am Dan Lanning. I got them rolling in Oregon.
Boy, they're playing for clicks. You're playing for wins.
That's a monster game. Oh, my gosh. So the Niners have a chance to set the tone for the weekend. All right? They set the tone for the weekend. You got high school. You got college. You got Ohio State, Oregon. Shasky, can you believe that? Ohio State, Oregon? I love this Big Ten. I love this new Big Ten. And then you get Sunday, we have to sit back and watch the rest of the league as the Niners are sitting at 3-3. Come on. Come on, Shasky. Come on, Shasky.
Bonte, I just, okay, we need to switch it up. Al Michaels,
yeah,
Al Michaels' energy is off. Well,
your
here's the problem. Al's terrible. But here's the thing.
I need your energy. Where's your Shasky? Can we get the Frisco Shasky to stand up, please?
Hey, look.
I can feel your energy. You're nervous. You're red. You're moving around. You're twitching.
I am.
You're fidgety. You're just like, you can't sit still. It's go time. You're the most confident Niner fan I know. Let's go, baby. Break it down for me.
Young Guido sent me a text message, audio text message, please, to get me fired up. Young Guido.
Guido, you need Guido. What did Guido say? Because Guido, you know what Guido did? You know what Guido did to me? He sent me a Peter Warg video last night. Now, yeah, a lot of people sent me this Peter Warg.
He's like
but
you.
He sent me.
Bonte, he's just like you. He has 17 different Southern colleges that he claims. But Georgia, Tennessee, Arkansas. Hey, he's all over the place.
But you know what? He sent me that Peter Warg video, and I watched it this morning.
Yeah?
And I watched it again. I texted him. I said, Beast. And it got me going. And it got me feeling good about myself.
Did he hit the like button on that Beast comment?
Yeah, oh yeah, he did. Of course. You got to throw the heart on there. Mm-hmm. And I understand Guido. When I talked to Guido at your Little League game, you guys played in the championship. Yeah. And I had a 5-minute conversation with Guido. I go, boy, I could do a show with this guy. This guy reads me. He gets me. He understands me. I understand him.
You both have a disdain for Shanahan in certain situations. So, play the young Guido audio message he sent me this morning.
Hey, no more of this Pinocchio Joe. I was worried. Hey, fire it up. Let's go, bro. Take off the slip-on Skechers and put on the Vapor Nikes. And let's put our hand in the dirt. Let's get muddy. Body bag game. You know what I'm saying? Pride in the Excelsior. Let's go, baby.
Devo,
I'm calling you out.
Now, Guru's texting me saying, he sent me, Guru, if you were listening and you got Q-tips, I said, Guru sent it to me as well. Guido sent it to me as well.
Guru sends everyone everything.
Yeah, I know. He sends everybody everything.
I lost. I'm out.
All you do is live on Instagram, Guru. Hey, listen. Listen.
You are just running over everyone.
It's game day. That's why. And I'm tired of this scary-ass energy. Oh, my God. Are we going to win? Oh, my God. Nick Bosa. Oh, you know what? Players got to make plays today. This is a player's game. Enough with the Shanahan talk. Shanahan's going to dial it up. Shanahan's going to be fine. Purdy, make the throws. Ayuk, catch the football. Debo, run somebody over. Run somebody over the sideline right away.
No.
And then Nick Bosa on defense, because I know what Fred's going to bring. Fred already said it. If I got to give you a damn speech, I'll just play it. Listen to Fred Warner himself.
You know, I'm kind of at the point where it's like the circumstance is what it is. We're 2-3 going into a Thursday night game against a divisional rival, primetime, with the stakes of being number one in the division. It's like, if I have to give some sort of grandiose speech to get you going for this moment, probably don't have the right guys.
All right. Now, I hear Fred. He's basically saying, like, he's calling guys out.
Calling guys out.
Young Guido called out Debo. Who are you calling out? Rapid fire. We're going around the room. Who are you calling out for tonight's game? I'm going to go right to it. I'll be first. Play me some music. Brock Purdy, I'm calling you out. I love you, dude. The world is waiting for you to crumble and turn back into a pumpkin. They don't believe that the glass slipper is real. Brock, tonight's the night to pull the sword out of the stone again and slay the dragon. Let's go. Go up to Seattle. Beat the team that you've kicked the teeth into. time and time again, be the rhythmic, dynamic stud quarterback that you are, that we all know you have in you, bounce back from last week's poor performance, and lead this team to a must-win game. Brock Purdy, I'm calling you out.
Yeah, you know who I'm calling out. It's no secret who I'm calling out. This defense is struggling. They're not generating pressure. They're not stopping the run. They're not getting off the football field. You're blowing 10-point leads. Quarterbacks are dropping back 5 steps, 7 steps, and letting a deep ball fly against this defense. It's number 97. It's Nick Bosa. Shanahan and Sorensen puts back on you this weekend. Nick Bosa, you got the $122.5 million guarantee. You're the highest paid defensive player in the history of the league. Nick Bosa, I am calling you out because I believe, listen, as much as I call out, I don't call anybody out. I don't call bums out. I don't call scrubs out. No. I call the superstars out. This is a superstar-driven league. Nick Bosa's a superstar, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Bosa, this is your day. Prime time against this team that gave up 7 sacks last week to the New York Giants. I don't care who the New York Giants have on the defensive line. Nick Bosa, you're better than all of them. You're better than Brian Burns. You're better than Dexter Lawrence. You're better than Kayvon Thibodeau, or whatever the hell his name is. Nick Bosa, it's on you, buddy. It's on you.
Joe Spadoni, Niners, Seahawks, tonight.
You know,
who are you calling out?
First and foremost, there's an edginess that's lost with this team right now. And I go back to, I forget what week it was, week 10, week 11 last year when the San Francisco 49ers went to Philadelphia. And one man alone destroyed a franchise last year. That was Deebo Samuel.
That's a great point.
They need him to be that spark on offense tonight. Short week, on the road, in Seattle. I've seen way too many times this year. I can't remember the last time I've seen Deebo Samuel get beaten up physically by other opponents. Like, it just doesn't usually happen. Like, he usually makes the first tackle miss, right? Or mm-hmm. breaks through it.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's been getting tackled immediately. I need the ferocity of a Deebo Samuel tonight. He has one touchdown, guys. One touchdown, week one. That was running the ball. Use your best offensive weapon. That is still Deebo Samuel. It's not that difficult. No McCaffrey, then go to Deebo. Like, you have to feature these guys in the red zone more and more. So I'm looking at Deebo Samuel. Have a big night tonight.
I'm calling this segment calling out names. Corrupt.
650's calling you out.
Why?
I'm calling out Sausalito Shasky. Bringing energy to the base. Stop sounding all scared right on the radio.
Right.
I'm with you. All I'm right with you, 650. I don't want Sausalito Shasky all today. Because right you ain't getting Burlingame Bonte. That's for damn sure. Love, man, what you got?
I'm calling out the I'm going to be like you, Bonte. I'm going to stay on the defensive line, but I'm going to go to the interior of the defensive line. I'm calling out all the 49ers defensive tackles. James Conner was blown by all you guys last week. Kyron Williams was blown by all you guys a couple weeks ago. Where's the run blocking in the middle? Shats, you and I were going through the numbers the other day. What, they've racked up like what? Opponents have racked up like what? 1,500 yards mm-hmm. on the Niners on the ground mm-hmm. since the Arizona game last year. Almost all of it's coming in the middle.
Yeah.
Need to see better play from these defensive tackles. So Malik Collins, Kalia Davis, Robert Beal Jr., Samuel Okwuanu. Need to see better from you guys in the middle if the Niners are going to win this game tonight.
All right, so rushing yards since Arizona week 15. I'm just going to go in order. 234, 102, 62, 136, 182, 130 this year, 68, 146, 98, 73, 169. That's 1,400 yards, 127 yards per game since week 15 they've given up on the ground. If you take out week 18.
You know, I love downtown Burlingame. Don't get it twisted, 5-1-0. Trust me. I try to take baby chairs there every day. Burlingame is a very, very nice place. Nice sun, good ice cream, good food, all the stuff. The D-tackles. You know, I'm thinking about the low kneel cut on Willard and Dibbs. I mean, Low Neal said on Willard Dibbs, he goes, you know, Arizona got the ball after the James Conner fumble. And they didn't make, it wasn't a secret what they did. They said, we're just going to run the ball down your damn throats. And they did it over and over. And that, to me, when I think about, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo only throwing 8 passes in an NFC Championship game and they're running down a Green Bay Packers, that is the most disrespectful thing you could do to a defense. Say, we're going to line up and we're going to run the ball right here.
That's a hardball move.
Are you going to stop it? And it's been a while since I've seen a team walk into Levi's Stadium and say, we're just going to run the ball right through you. And run the ball right through you with the defense has Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. It was unbelievable how much they ran the ball and ran it with physicality. I mean, Kevin Kugler on line one. I was like, wow.
This is a primetime game, though, B. And, like, I hear you on all the defensive stuff, but the national narrative tomorrow, if the Shanahan offense and Purdy offense looks lackluster, they're going to get called out by everyone.
Oh, they
will. Easy criticism. People are going to be all over the offense. You score 16 points offensively against Arizona. What do you do against this defense that we saw Daniel Jones put up big numbers against and we saw on primetime, you know, give up a ton of points to Detroit? I think this is going to be, look, the spotlight is on the quarterback and the coach.
There's no lie. There's no lies there. There's no lies there. Shanahan will catch strays. He already has from his own fan base. Nationally, we'll play the Acho sound because it was out of pocket, but whatever. Chicago Jason, shout out to YouTube. Hopefully we'll get that chat rolling soon. But Chicago Jason, I'm calling out. Number one, 11, 85, and 15.
Ooh.
Separate and rack up the yak. Dublin March. I'm calling out the Niners intensity.
Let's go.
Wow. Wow. 408. Calling out Trent Williams. Needs to bring the silver back to the fight.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Trent Williams because a little birdie said to me, he's not even the most impactful 71 in the Bay Area. That's Macklin Celebrini.
Wow. 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 That's... Wow.
Skiller!
Wow. See, I leave Big Trent alone, man. Just, you know, I saw that dog and everything like that. It's like, I'm not gonna park up his tree, man. That's one guy I'm not going to call out.
Well, he needs to play better.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to hold out for Big Bank, I mean, you better show up.
You can say it for me, but I just don't mess with Big Trent. I don't mess with Big Trent.
And I wouldn't say it to his face.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't. You wouldn't even go near him. 510, I'm calling out Nick Sorensen. Do your damn job and step it up.
Oh, God. We just love calling out coaches.
Coaches, players, everybody can get it.
Who was the hitting coach? Bam Bam Mullins. I'm calling out Bam Mullins.
Oh, my gosh. Art in Santa Rosa.
What's up, Art?
No, we caught out the third base coach. What's his name? He moved over from first base to third base, and he got fired. Who's the guy I'm talking about? He's a World Series champion. He was our first base coach. Flannery was a third base coach. Oh, Roberto Kelly.
That's who it was.
Everybody call him out. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. His Yankee card is etched in my head.
Art in Santa Rosa. What's up, Art?
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime, brother.
There's two people I want to call out, or that need to step up, I should say. One is Purdy. I love Purdy. Great quarterback. Everybody knows he's a nice guy. He's got all these cool little commercials going on, but he's still getting flack from some people about Mr. Irrelevant. On the field. It don't matter what down it is. It needs to be on this first drive or he just runs the ball himself. Don't slide. Hit somebody head up. Show them how badass you are. Pound your chest. Spike that ball and tell everybody else to step up. Tell them that they all need to be as productive, as hard, play as hard as he is. He needs to take over this team and show everybody. Shut those people up that he is the leader of this team and he needs to tell everybody else to step up. When he gets off the field, get on the defense. Say get out there and play your asses off. He needs to show he's the leader of this team. He needs to bring that fire tonight. That's what he needs to do. He needs to step it up.
You know what, Art? You got me going, man. I started getting chills towards the tail end of that car. But he said, I'm going to talk to the defense and tell them you need to play your ass off and you need to step up. That's the stuff I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there. You got to bring the intensity. This is a monster game, folks. We're not sugarcoating it. It is what it is. We're staring 2-4 in the damn face. All right? And then you got to think about Kansas City. That's going to be a long, dreadful week if you lose this football game.
All right, I'm going to read off some of these. You can hit some music here. From the 408, it's time to call out the fans. It's game day. It's time to back up your team stuff. All the doom and gloom, show up and show out. I'm calling out the fans.
You know what? I'm with you. I don't like to do that. But you know what? The fans have gotten on my damn nerves recently. Calling out the coach. Not holding players accountable. You know what? Just back this damn team up. All right?
I'm calling out the red zone offense from the 510. We need touchdowns instead of field goals. From the 415, I'm calling out Kyle Shanahan. Stop blowing 10-point leads. If they have a 10-point lead in this one, in my head, I'm thinking, oh, boy.
I know you are. Tim pointed up saying, let's shut the door.
The Niners are like England when they have a 1-0 lead in a big game. God. They just never works out. Stop. Always lose 2-1.
The guy, what's the record? What's the record going into last game? I mean, come on. Like, the stats are all skewed. He's actually had a really good record.
But this year's been double different. Digits.
This year's been different in two games. And the players have blown it. Right? And see, the Ronnie Bell drop, it wasn't just a drop. It's the way he dropped the damn ball.
What does that even mean?
I mean, what does it mean?
What does that even mean?
It's like he was scared of the ball. It's like he was playing volleyball.
He dropped the ball.
No, it's the way he dropped it. Go back and watch the way he dropped it.
Trying to catch it with his chest.
The good kid from the Little Giants who didn't have to stick him at first. Like, just,
Fonte.
I mean, it
have
was
you
awful.
Been watching preseason Ronnie Bell? He drops balls.
Did you see the way he dropped that ball, though? There's drops. And then there's egregious drops.
He goes off the shoulder pads all the time, and the ball shoots up into the air.
It's like he batted the ball down like he was volleyball spiking it or something.
All right, 408, I'm calling out the defensive line. You got to get to the quarterback and stop the run. From the 650, I'm calling out the casual fans. You're making us 40 whiners look like it's really true.
You know what? We do sound like whiners as a fan base. I'm not going to lie to you, Shasky. I've been very disappointed in this fan. Not all of them, because there's some really good fans out there. But I have been disappointed. We act like spoiled children. We've had a great 5-year run with the 49ers. They paid everybody. The gear is tough. Look at all the gear we're wearing right now with the 49ers gear. We got the best gear. We get primetime games. We got the best uniforms in the league. We got premium players. We are some spoiled brats around here. It's time to stop whining. No wonder we're called the 40 whiners. Stop whining all the damn time.
Brian in Oakland, I'm calling out our safeties. Make a play. 650, backing that up. Calling out Jair Brown. Time to make a name, make your tackles, and put your stamp on the game. Whoa. Let's go.
Well, with Talanoa Hufanga out, he's on IR officially, and he was not good. In the game and a half that he played, he was just not good. He did not belong on the football field. I'm just going to say it. It's okay. I love Hufanga, represents high school football, loves the Bay Area, but he was just not good this season. Malik Mustafa and Jair Brown have a chance to take the reins at the safety position for the next 3 years. This is their time to say, you know what? We want to be in a great lineage of safeties in the San Francisco 49ers history. The Dwight Hicks, the Ronnie Lotts, the Tim McDonalds, the Merton Hanks, the Zach Bronsons, the Les Schultzers, the Deshaun Golstons, the Dante Whitners, the Eric Reeds, you name it. They have a chance to etch their name in the great lineage of safety play here in San Francisco. So let's go. It's your time. Don't get beat over the top. Because we know Ryan Grubb in Seattle, they're looking at the film saying, we can get deep on these guys.
Do me a favor. Don't reference Schultz and Zach Bronson before referencing the Hot Licks and Carlton Williamson. Please. That's all.
Dwight Hicks.
I know, but you got to go Carlton Williamson, too. Jeff Fuller. Zach Bronson. I love my 2000s Niners, but come on.
They'll put some respect on a guy
from
Hofstra.
Tony Parrish.
Hey, Lance Schultz from Hofstra. Remember the Matt and Clicker when he showed him? It was a Saints game at Kettlesick Park. They were playing Ricky Williams and Deuce McAllister. And John Madden on the Clicker. Lance Schultz came in. Boom! Fonte. And his helmet like twisted sideways, and Madden was on the Clicker. Look at Schultz. Boom! And he kept rewinding it. And forward. And I was like, wow, Lance Schultz, man.
That's like you, Marquez Pope. It's like, no, I don't want to hear about Marquez Pope.
He's a good Niner. You know what? 415, you're right. Call out Trent Williams trying to put somebody on their ass and set the tone. Not the boombox. Forget the boombox. Hell, I'm ready to destroy the boombox in a second if you all start getting some wins. Put somebody on their ass up there in Seattle.
Who's the guy behind Shanahan now with the giant chain?
I don't know.
Who was that?
I don't know who that is. I don't know what's going on.
I'll identify him tonight and take a screenshot.
Yeah, I don't know who he is. I know who you're talking about. I have no idea who he is.
This is the first time the 49ers in a long time are playing the Seahawks without Pete Carroll. How do you guys feel about that? No more Pete Carroll. Do you miss him a little bit?
I miss him a
lot.
Do you
miss, like, talking smack, the gum smacking, all that?
You know, beat him 5 straight times. Mm. So
you do miss him because you owned him.
Yeah, told you, I started to like Pete Carroll.
Well, to this guy, he starts liking enemies all the time.
Go take a class at USC. He's teaching down there.
Sorry, I start to like Pete Carroll.
Well, he feels guilt from all the cheating he did for so long.
Oh, man.
That cheating today is now not frowned upon. Now it's great.
Miami, highest NIL transfer portal salaries across college sports. And everyone's like, they're doing it the right way.
Pete would dominate in today's if he wanted to.
Well, he actually dominated in his way. He gave out free houses, Range Rovers. I mean, this is what they did.
You think Saban was doing the same in Tuscaloosa, Alabama?
Of course they were. Why do you think Saban was so mad? He's like, we're cheating the quiet way. Now everyone's doing it the loud way.
I love Saban playing to the crowd last week again. Berkeley was just on fire last week. Everyone was leaning into it.
All right, I got to play this for Ross Tucker, who joined Steiny and Goody the other day. I want you to chew on this. Is the problem with the 49ers right now Brock Purdy or Kyle Shanahan?
You know, the whole point of Purdy was supposed to be that he's so smart and so comfortable in Shanahan's offense that, and remember, in Shanahan's offense, there's always supposed to be the answer, right? There's always supposed to be an answer, no matter what the defense is. And what they love about Purdy is that he knows what Kyle wants him to do, and he delivers the ball. So I think the question we need to ask ourselves right now is, does Shanahan's offense not have the answer for some of the things these defenses are doing, or is Purdy not doing a good job of doing what Shanahan wants against some of these looks?
So we basically didn't answer the question.
Is Ross okay? No. Was he on
getting his steps in that day?
He was walking, to, I think, to his daughter's school.
Oh, was he?
Checking, oh my God.
It's like a 25% grade on that hill, though.
Did he make it?
Hey, those offensive linemen knees, man, all right?
No wonder Kevin Harlan's carrying them on a radio call for Westwood One.
I really like Ross Tucker. He used to have me on his, they did like a YouTube show, Home and Home.
I've done that.
And I was doing it for a long time during the 2019 season, and great guy. Total Philadelphia homer.
Yeah, he's a big homer.
And I told it to his face many times.
He's a big homer. He's a
love
big homer.
The guy.
Ross Tucker's my guy.
Well,
all right.
I'm Ross Tucker. And he does the way he delivers it gives me a smile.
Very smart man. Very smart.
Just ask him.
What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. I'm going behind enemy lines. We're going up to Seattle. Dick Fan, 93.3 KJR Radio in Seattle. He's going to talk that talk, Niner fans. They feel good up there in Seattle. How good? We'll find out from Dick Fan on the other side. That's coming up here on The Roast.
But I want to thank you guys, Shasky, and I've listened to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
I go on and on.
Who's that, Will? Will in Nevada? Dickie knows who I am now. Mr. Monte. Baby Chess, she's fired up for the game.
Yeah?
49ers against the Seahawks. Chess is fired up for the game. Anna, do you know a game is being played today? She knows a game is being played today. It's a big game for Brock Purdy. It's a big game for Chester. Because it dictates the mood in the household. Niners lose tonight. I'm not putting Chester to bed. I'm not changing her diaper.
Clean it up, Auntie.
I'm going for a long walk. And I'm going to talk to myself. And try to brace for what could be a long, long morning on a Friday. But you know what? It's time we go behind enemy lines to crank this thing up even more. Let's go, Spinoni. Play the opener.
When you need to learn about your opponent, you have to go behind enemy lines. Learning what we need to know about the 49ers' next opponent.
I've been watching the Vince McMahon doc. Am I watching since W? What's going on
what
here?
What did he do to his lips?
Yeah, I don't know what
the
he's done to his
has
wife.
He's like OnlyFans lips.
What has he done, period?
Oh, well, he's done a lot of plastic surgery.
He's done a lot of bad.
I have never used steroids. Period.
He's on the steroids.
He's just not a good human being. But
if you know where
on,
I can get him, let me know.
One guy who is a good human being, he's okay, unless it's game day. He's already laughing. Dick Fan. My guy, Dick.
Is this Jabba the Hutt?
He knows the time it is, man. 93.3 KJR up in Seattle. Dick, the Softy and Dick show up there in Seattle. They're the best to do it up there in the Pacific Northwest. And here we go again. Another Niners Seahawk game. And you know what, Dick? The Niners own you guys right now. What is it, five straight, including the playoff win? Boy, you guys got a Niner problem. You got a Shanahan problem, Dick. Welcome to the show, brought to you by the River Riders Guest Line. What's up, Dick?
It's perfect to come on, and the first thing I hear Bonta Hill talk about is diapers and changing them. So that's the first thing I heard when I got put on hold. No, I mean, it's cyclical, guys. I mean, the Seahawks ran this division for a while. The Rams have run this division for a while. The 49ers have run this division for a while. And the only question is, when is the change going to happen? And how quickly is the change going to happen? Because none of these teams are going to run the division for a decade plus. It's always going to be cyclical. And, right now, Mike McDonald has got a team in the oven that is nowhere near ready to serve. I mean, that's the best way I can put it. But I like what he's doing. And the problem is, one of the reasons that the Seahawks have lost the last couple games is the same reason why the Niners have struggled the last few weeks. They just don't have all their ingredients, man. I mean, you took the entire defensive line out of that Monday Night Football game against Detroit, and then during the game, Julian Love goes out. So you were out a starting safety, your starting linebacker in Jerome Baker, and all four of your starting defensive linemen. Now, you got a couple of those defensive linemen back, but not all of them. And you're still without Uchenna Nwosu. It looks like he's going to be gone potentially for the rest of the season. Now Tariq Woolen's out. It's just it's unfortunate because we want to see what Mike McDonald can do, and I think we did in the first couple games of the season. And the question is, why did the Seahawks look so great in the first couple games of the season? Did they look so great because they were all healthy, or did they look so great because they were playing Jacoby Brissett and Skylar Thompson? And I don't think we can really answer that question until all these guys get back and we can see a full Seahawk defense again.
You're talking a lot about cyclical and how things change. One thing that has not changed is the fake crowd noise you guys have been pumping up in that stadium for the last two decades. Like, keep it real. You guys are going to do that again. I mean, even when there's no action being had, there's ambient noise coming through the speakers. We all see this. It's a farce. Come on.
You sound like Bill Belichick on the Peyton Manning show this week. Isn't that what he accused Indianapolis of doing?
Well, it's facts. Oh, man. I mean, SoFi did it too. When you have crappy fans, that's what you do.
Yeah, Bonte's been there before. I think he can attest to the home field advantage in that building. I think every other one of the 31 teams can attest to the home field advantage in that building. Now, that being said,
hold on real quick, Dick. Hold on real quick. When I got up there, it was a hat and t-shirt game for the 49ers, so it was pretty damn quiet.
Well,
it was crickets.
Were you up here for the NFC Championship game in January 2014?
No, I was a broke boy then, Ted. I didn't have too much money to go up there for that one. No, I'm glad.
Was fairly loud that day. As was the game earlier that season where they won like 42-10 or something on Monday Night Football. No, I mean, it's like any stadium, right? It's going to be louder. The better the team is, the better the defense is, the louder the stadium is going to be. But I think Seattle has a deserved reputation for what it is. It hasn't been
bandwagon
the same
jumpers
the last couple years. Okay, all right.
I mean, it's called a microwave fan base. That's what I think of you guys, because I watched you in our division and I never saw anyone travel until you actually won a championship. And that's just facts.
Oh, the traveling part, you're exactly right. The traveling part has only happened in the last 10 years, but there has not been a season ticket available for the Seattle Seahawks in, I think, 35 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can't get a ticket. You can't go to the box office and buy a Seahawk ticket, and you haven't since the last century. So, I mean, if that's bandwagon, that's cool. I mean, if you guys can say that in Santa Clara, then good on you.
I don't know if we could say that in Santa Clara. I'm not going to lie about that. But Dick Fan joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.70 Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? From what you've guys seen from afar with the 49ers, they're 2-3, and obviously this is a massive game. Do you see Geno Smith and company airing the ball out? What's going on with the running game here? Grubb, who came over from the University of Washington, had Penix and Adunze and McMillan. What's going on with this offense? Because Kenneth Walker III, what, 5 carries last week? 6 carries? What the hell's going on there?
Brian Grubb has a tendency to get hormonal. we've seen that with the Huskies. He obviously has a great following amongst Husky fans, but there are also a lot of Seahawks fans that are Cougar fans and Duck fans and Beaver fans, and they couldn't give a crap about Ryan Grubb. In fact, they don't really like Ryan Grubb. So Ryan Grubb has got to prove himself to all Seahawks fans that are not Husky fans. I think he's endeared himself enough to Husky fans, but that's only maybe 50% of Seahawk Nation. The rest of them are following other college football teams. So Ryan Grubb, I was disappointed in how he attacked the Lions on Monday Night Football, because the first 24 plays, there were 20 Geno Smith dropbacks against Aiden Hutchinson in that pass rush and 4 Ken Walker runs. And so I'm just complaining all over the place on social media at halftime. I'm like, what are you doing? You've scored 7 offensive points. You've thrown it 20 times. You've run it 4 times. And then, to his credit, he adjusted in the second half, had as many runs as he did passes. The Seahawks didn't win that game, but they came back. Their offense looked dynamic. And then what does he do this last week? He does the same thing that he did in the first half of the Lions game, and he gives Ken Walker, who in my opinion, when healthy, is a top 5 running back in the NFL. I mean, this guy, when he gets a crease, he could be gone at any moment, and he gives him the ball 5 times. So Ryan Grubb has been squarely in my crosshairs for the last week and a half, and he's got to prove something. And he fell, to his credit, he fell on the sword this week. He fell on the sword. Mike McDonald kind of called him out, saying, his quote was, we did Ken Walker a disservice. And Ryan Grubb obviously had a conversation with his head coach and says, I need to get the ball 10 to 15 more times than I did to Ken Walker. So whether it's going to be force-feeding him, I hope it's not just force-feeding him to the line of scrimmage, because Ken Walker's not a great between-the-tackles, you know, 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2, 4th-and-1. That's not Ken Walker's game. Ken Walker's game is getting 2, and then 3, and then 1, and then 27. And that's how Ken Walker's going to get his 100 yards. He's going to get his 100 yards with 3 or 4 20-plus yard runs, and then the rest of them are going to be 2 to 4 yard runs. That's how Ken Walker operates. But you have to allow him the opportunity, giving him the ball enough times, for him to bust those 20 to 30 yard runs.
DK is such a stud, and you watch him from afar. He reminds so many Niner fans of T.O., and he's had the big fumbles the last couple of losses. What's going on with DK Metcalf?
DK Metcalf is an unbelievable talent. DK Metcalf, in my opinion, has not developed into an unbelievable football player. He's developed into a very good wide receiver, a top 10 to 12 wide receiver in the NFL. But if DK Metcalf wants to be paid like a top 3 wide receiver in the NFL, all these other things need to go away. Fumble last week, fumble on Monday Night Football, penalty, 15-yard penalties, holding penalties when he's not even involved in the play, taking away 25, 30-yard receptions by Tyler Lockett and Jackson Smith and Jigba. It seems like a weekly occurrence that DK Metcalf will give you a massive negative play. And so those things have to go away. If DK can just give you all the positives without just the brain lock plays, then it used to be unsportsmanlike conducts. In the past years, it was 15-yard unsportsmanlike conducts that he gave you. Now he's kind of calmed down a little bit and hasn't done the, you know, shoving and 15-yard stupid flag. Now it's holdings, and now it's the inability to hold on to the football when he's trying to fight for extra yards. So, yeah, DK is going to give you the 10 targets, 7 catches, 75 yards and a touchdown, but does he get 15 yards taken away, and does he get a possession taken away in the process? That's going to be the question.
You know, Dick, I wanted to ask you about the offensive line, because you brought up Aiden Hutchinson, and last week the Giants got 7 sacks, but we got a Nick Bosa problem. We're thinking, if Nick Bosa can't get to the quarterback in this game, then when will he get to the quarterback? But I want to ask about your defense here, because this Tracy kid, Tracy Janger for the New York Giants, nobody ever heard from him. He runs for over a buck 20. Guys, if David Montgomery had a big day on Monday Night Football, what is going on? Is it just simply put, the injuries are catching up to the Seattle defense?
Yeah, I think it really is, because all through the preseason and all through the first 3 games of the regular season, this team was a far better tackling team than what we've seen over the last couple, 3 years under Clint Hurt and Ken Norton and those defenses and Pete Carroll, a far better tackling team. And then all of a sudden, you take this guy out, you take that guy out, you take this guy out, you put these guys in that you have no idea who they are, and all of a sudden they can't tackle. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. Now, Are they a great defense yet? No, I don't even think they're a great defense even when they get all the guys back. But I do think they're a good, solid top 10, top 12 defense when they get everybody back. And you're right. I mean, I was sitting there in the stands, and I was, I'm a fantasy football player. I take pride in thinking that I know the depth chart, at least of the skill positions of the rest of the teams. And I was like, who the hell's 29? I had to go on my phone and look up who 29 was for the New York Giants last week.
I mean, we were talking about, I had him in fantasy. I cut him after like 3 weeks, and of course he goes crazy. Jeez, it was just ridiculous. Look, for many years, the camera would pan over to Pete Carroll, and Niner fans just couldn't stand him for a variety of reasons. It was very layered. But on the field, there were two guys that were a thorn in their side, just like Bobby Wagner, just always making huge, huge plays on one end, and Russell Wilson just never being out of it, just constantly fighting, scrapping, scrambling for yards, and making plays happen, and just both guys tormented Niner fans forever. Are there any guys on either side of the ball for the Niners that torment Seahawks fans?
Oh, yeah. I think if you just surveyed Seahawks fans and the most hated Niners, I think George Kittle probably would have to be number one. You know, they hate the long hair. They hate the pointing for the first down. They hate the tongue sticking out, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I appreciated George this last week when he talked about going up to Seattle and, like, teaching the young guys what it means to go to Seattle and what this rivalry means. And I think that's important for the Niners. I think it's important for some of the young Seahawks as well that might not have been through the wars between the Seahawks and the Niners. But you mentioned Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner. I mean, there was a situation where the Seahawks got rid of one of them at the exact right time, and they got rid of the other one far too early. And Bobby Wagner is still showing he can play football, and the Hawks have had a middle linebacker problem ever since he left. So the Hawks made a mistake not re-signing Bobby Wagner. I think they wanted to move on. They're like, okay, you know, you're in your 30s. We're going to move on. We got the best out of you. But Bobby Wagner, leadership-wise, and still the ability to play middle linebacker is nearly unmatched in the NFL. But, you know, Russell Wilson, I mean, heck, the Seahawks got the greatest trade in, you know, maybe in the NFL over the last couple of years. Maybe that Panthers-Bears trade was pretty good, too. But, you know, just a fantastic trade by the Seahawks.
No, there's no doubt about that. How does it play out tonight, man? How confident are they feeling up there in the Pacific Northwest?
You know, I don't think the Hawks are ready. I think if the Niners were coming in, you know, not licking their wounds, and the Hawks could jump on them here, I think that would be an opportunity. But the fact of the matter is, it's a great spot for the Niners. I mean, I just don't see you guys going 0-3 in the division. I just don't. And so, I mean, I think it's gonna be a close game. If the Seahawks can run the ball and really establish Ken Walker, then it's a four-quarter game. If it turns into another one of those Geno Smith throws it 40-plus times, this could be double digits. I think that, you know, Geno Smith, I tweeted this out yesterday, he is on pace to throw the 6 most passing attempts in the history of the NFL. I mean, Pete Carroll, even though he's not dead, Pete Carroll is rolling over in his grave right now watching his former quarterback, because, you know, a top 10 passer attempt guy in the history of the NFL and number one in the league. That is not Seahawks football. Just like it's not Niner football.
Right.
It's not Niner football to drop Brock Purdy back 45 times in a game. You've got to establish balance, and that is the only chance the Seahawks have to win this game, is if they can truly establish balance. I'm going to go 24-20. I think the over-under is too high. I kind of like the over-under better than I like the side. I think 3.5 is probably about where it should be. Mm-hmm. But, 49.5 seems too high for me for two teams that, I mean, I think Jordan Mason wants to be established on one side and Ken Walker wants to be established on another. That doesn't scream 49.5 to me.
Not to mention the red zone issues for the 49ers, Dick. 9-22 so far in the red zone for the 49ers. Yeah. They can't score touchdowns right now.
Yeah, the Hawks are having trouble there too. So yeah, I think a lot of field goals, and you know field goal is an advantage for Seattle, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, who knows what your kicker's going to do? And I think the Seahawks' red zone defense is pretty good. So if the Seahawks can continually force the Niners to kick you know, 40 to 50 yard field goals, you can't imagine you're going to go 3 of 3 on those.
Yeah,
I mean, you're going to miss at least one of them.
Yeah, that's an X factor.
Well, let's just hope our guy doesn't get hurt on a kickoff. I mean, Jesus Louise. I mean, DJ Dallas almost exploded Moody's career. I mean, he ran right through his soul.
No, he sure did. He sure did. Dick Fan, you're the best, man. I'll talk to you later on today at KGR.
Oh, sounds good, man. We'll talk to you later tonight.
All right, man. Dick Fan, this off the Dick Show up there in Seattle, man. They're the best up there. KJR 93.3. They love their Hawks up there. There's no doubt about it. They represent hard for the Seahawks, man. It's been fun to get to know those two fellas. And Dick Fan breaking it down. Both teams are desperate. Both teams are desperate.
Well, it sounds both like teams... the way he's talking, though, it does. This is always a moving target. Like the Niners last year, CMC was the best player on the team.
Yep.
In my estimation. And then this year, it feels like through 5 weeks or whatever, Fred Warner, best player on the team.
Yep.
Right? And again, this is a moving target. It changes. Boy, Kenneth Walker feels so important to them. And that's why I keep coming back to these rushing numbers. And I'm talking about setting the edge. And I keep coming back to the linebacker play and defensive line, the edges. They have got to stop the run. They just have to.
No, they have to. Kenneth Walker is going to get force-fed today. There's no doubt about it. And Charbonnet is not a bad running back as well.
No.
He's not a bad running back.
He's busted up a couple big ones against the Niners.
But the Niners have to take advantage of this wounded defense.
Yeah.
You know, Woolen's out. Wilson's out. You know, Murphy's out. You've got to score. You've got to control the clock. You've got to run the football. You've got to convert in the red zone. You cannot settle for three in this football game. So, monster, monster game. What you think about Dick Fan? What he had to say about the game? 888-957-9570. Both teams. He believes Seattle's not ready for this yet. He believes they're not quite ready for this moment. Now, he could be downplaying it and being a panic fan there and said, hey, we're not ready for it. And then when they win, it's like, oh. Because I guarantee when I go on their show, Softy's going to be super confident.
Yeah.
He's always confident.
Yeah.
So I don't. Geno Smith dropping back, they'll probably put him in a position to not drop back 40 plus times in this football game. And usually Thursday night football. Now, last week was an outlier. Felt like Atlanta and Tampa Bay were throwing the football all over the yard. What, Kirk Cousins threw for over 500 yards?
It's funny how he says you don't want Brock dropping back 40 times. And literally, that's what he did last week. And I know, it's situations game flow and games and all that. But like, there's a reason that the Niners coach time and time again has said, hey, I want to get to 35, 37 carries a game. So like, I'm looking at these two numbers. The 49ers, surprisingly, have the fifth best on offense third down efficiency. It's at 46%. Yep. Okay. Their third down efficiency for defense is the 11th highest.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good at all.
And I think that the run game really factors into that. When you allow teams to have manageable third downs, but they've also given up some big third downs.
Yeah, they have. They've given up fourth downs as well.
Yeah.
I mean, down the distance, it's a problem. Teams are finding themselves against this Niner defense, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, or whatnot. But going back, you know, because last year on Thanksgiving night, it was a Christian McCaffrey game. I mean, I hammered home. I remember Thanksgiving night at Downtown Disney. When that game was on, they got the bars out there. Downtown Disney's, I was just talking with Kyle Madsen about that. $40 overtime coming up with Kyle Madsen, Mark Grandy, and Sterling Bennett. That's after the game, immediately after the game. Best post-game show in the Bay Area when it comes to the 49ers, right?
It's like a Wu-Tang concert. There's so many members on stage.
It's a lot, man.
You just got to tune in.
Well, I thought I'm going to pull a Shasky here. Well, those are tough shoes to fill. So you need three people to do it.
I kind of like that.
You like that?
I did kind of like that.
You like that?
I kind of like that.
But you know, McCaffrey was so dominant Thanksgiving night against the Seattle Seahawks. And we haven't seen McCaffrey all season, so it's easy to forget how dominant he was. Listen to Ron Rivera, the Riverboat Ron who joined Willard the Dibbs yesterday.
Wait a minute. Riverboat Ron's doing interviews.
He's doing interviews. It was a really good interview.
Do I want to hear? Okay, I want to hear from
him. It was Riverboat Ron on the River Island's guest line.
Yeah, that's
pretty, like that?
That's,
you like that?
That's pretty legit.
It's like,
and he said some fans. And he said some fans gave him that nickname. They were like, we love this Ron Rivera. He's like a Riverboat gambler.
Well, he did
Riverboat
crap
Ron.
Out. I mean, the end was not good.
But no, I mean.
I lost, I'm out.
Yeah, that was exactly.
Hey, listen, man.
Poor guy.
I love Ron Rivera. But he talked about the identity. This question has been floated around all week.
This is what? Like those NBA coaches. I love, what was it, Paul Silas Jr.? What was the Silas?
I didn't like Paul Silas
Jr. So many people like hype up these like crummy coaches. Like Scott Skiles. Was a crummy coach.
I don't hype these coaches.
Come on, he was crummy.
I'll tell you who was a coach. No, Robert Ferrer took Carolina, man. They
Steve
were good.
Clifford, yes. Steve Clifford's such a great coach.
Oh, I never said that.
He's such a great coach.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Players love him.
I never said anything about Steve Clifford. I never said anything about Steve Clifford. No, don't put words in my mouth. That's how these fans, they start saying, no wonder these fans tag me and things. And I'm like, bro, I don't even know what you're talking about. Because you say things like that.
Riverboat Ron.
But Riverboat Ron was solid with Carolina.
He's a good football mind. I just don't want him, you know, head coaching my team.
Well, it sounds like you know what Shanahan coaching the team is. So
Shanahan's significantly better
all right, thank you.
Than Ron Rivera.
I needed to
what
hear that
are
from you
talking about?
I needed to hear that from you.
Okay.
Ron Rivera, who joined Willard or Dibs. See, it takes us a while to get to these things. Let's talk about the identity of the 49ers. And that has been floated around by you, by many others. The identity. What's their identity? Well, let's hear from Ron Rivera, who joined Willard or Dibs yesterday.
Okay.
About the 49ers' identity.
To me, the 49ers still don't know their identity. A big piece of who they are is missing, and that's Christian McCaffrey. I get it. You know, his replacement rushed over 500 yards so far. But what's crazy about that, though, is look at where they are in the red zone. They were number one last year in the red zone. I believe they're 30th in the red zone this year as far as scoring touchdowns are concerned. So there's a little bit of something there, and I think a big part of it is you miss the diversity of who Christian McCaffrey is, the ability to run the ball and come out of the backfield as a pass-catching threat.
How about this cut from Ron Rivera?
When Christian McCaffrey is part of what you're doing offensively and you put him back there, the defenses don't know, you know, they can't just clue in on just him and say, okay, when he's in, it's run. When he's in, it's pass. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's always that dual threat. So because of that, you can't call your defenses accordingly. Now, all of a sudden, you start bringing guys in. So, oh, this is a pass catcher. Oh, this is the runner. So now you can kind of zero in a little bit. And I know Kyle's doing everything he can to mix it up and give different looks. But when you have the guy that's used to doing it, the guy that knows how to do it, and Christian, that's a big loss for them right now.
Yeah.
You just don't like Ron Rivera.
No,
he's spitting wisdom. He's just, with Jordan Mason in the game.
Wait, you're telling me that the team missing one of the best players on the planet is hurting? Of course, yes. He's awesome.
But there's a lot of people who tweet at me saying, hey, Jordan Mason's running the ball very well. They don't miss McCaffrey that much. And I'm like, well, actually they do. Because of the diversity that he brings to the table. The screen game. You guys brought up the screen game. How many screen games have they run to Jordan Mason?
They've offset some of the production, but they're missing some of the disguise and all of the other elements and the spacing and the gravity. And yes, they miss CMC. So yes.
They ask a coach what's going on with the 49ers.
He's a home run hitter, too.
So I don't know why he's got like, wow, you hate
it's a Captain Obvious on line one. That's all.
They miss diversity. CMC. Wow. All right. Here's more on Ron Rivera, Chris McCaffrey. I didn't know he triggered you so
No,
much.
I just.
Well, the thing about Chris, more than anything else, is he gives you everything he got. He puts it all on the line. And we had to try to slow him down. Now, I was very fortunate to have him, but I was only there three seasons with him. And we used to have to take him off the practice field. And it wouldn't be surprised me if it's a little bit of wear and tear showing right now. But to be quite honest, this break right now might be one of the best things going on for him. And if it's, if hopefully in the next couple of weeks he's back out there, I think you guys will see a rejuvenated guy that's going to come out and really be a lot more fresh than everybody else at the right time for the 49ers.
Look, and I'm not trying to be a hater to Ron Rivera. I'm just saying, like, he was the best player on the planet last year.
This is some high-level hate, man.
How?
This is high-level hate, man. They asked the guy a question, what's the 49ers' identity? He goes, well, they don't have an identity because they're missing Christian McCaffrey.
If I polled 100 fans and I said, best player on the Niners, I think 95 of them would say CMC.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I wrong?
Oh, my gosh. No.
He was probably the best player in football last year.
But they asked him, what's going on with the team this year? Why are they sputtering a little bit? He goes, just the identity. And it's simply Christian McCaffrey. And I think we forget that sometimes.
Yeah. No.
So what is it about?
But I think the home run hitting, like the big difference for me is like there's a couple of runs that Mason's had. They're big, huge chunk runs. And he makes guys miss.
I guess
CMC's like a 4-3 guy.
I guess Riverboat Ron's never coming on this show. Damn.